This is Wednesday, August 13th at 6 p.m. 2025. Okay, so we will have a roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President Rose?
Here.
And President Gibson?
Here. Director Joyce Sunnison, would you like to lead the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so agenda review. Does anyone want to make a change in the agenda?
I don't think, no, I
have
don't.
No changes.
So I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
A second.
Okay, now we'll take 3 minutes if anybody wants to talk about items that are not on the agenda. So talk about anything. What you had for lunch, or he's not coming up, is he? Okay. And next we'll have our staff reports, and we'll start with Commander McDaniel.
Good evening, John McDaniel, and Commander Sheriff South Station. So we had overall decent month. Last month, calls for service were down. We had 488 last year. We had only had 458 this year. For stats for crimes in Oceano, one assault and battery, 18 disturbance calls, one residential burglary, one grand theft, one petty theft, one vandalism. We had 45 different AOAs, so assisting an outside agency. Six suspicious circumstances calls, and 35 traffic stops just in the Oceano area. And then total, as far as the station, we had 55 arrests last month. So the total for the South Station. And then the 4th of July proved to be a busy night with the new county ordinance that we had. We basically sent off to the county over two dozen citations or offenses for code enforcement. So we had over 24 of them in the night. So we didn't have a lot of extra staff. We only had one additional person to do so. Overall, fairly good turnout. That we learned a lot of things. We did have a drone up just observing. There's still probably hours of video that still has to be reviewed. The code enforcement people that are working on it are busy with some other things that took priority. So. I think last I checked, they were still reviewing the drone footage for any other further violations. So I'm built for any questions.
So what happens for somebody that's been cited?
So what happens is it's just like any other code enforcement violation. It goes, notification of violation goes to the person. They have the ability to appeal it if it's gone the code enforcement route. It also is technically a misdemeanor, so it could go to the San Francisco Superior Court. We filed all ours with basically the code enforcement route. And so basically the property owner will get a fine levied against them.
And did you find them from people calling in or just drive by?
No, basically just driving around. We had a code enforcement officer and a deputy driving around in a vehicle.
Okay.
So okay. Confiscated a couple hundred pounds of fireworks also during that time. And we had CAL FIRE officers that were also enforcing fireworks violations during that time.
And do you take only the illegal ones?
Yeah, there was no citations or anything issued for any safe and sane, even though technically they were illegal in Oceano.
Right.
We have our hands full enough with the big aerial fireworks that there's no reason to enforce,
We don't want any little kids crying.
Yeah, so. nobody was issued a citation for a sparkler.
Okay.
Good to know.
It was all the big stuff.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Anybody else have any comments?
No.
Nope. I guess not. Thank you. And there's the fire chief here. Oh, yeah, he is. Mr. Hallett.
Good evening, members of the board. Just a brief update on the Gifford fire. FCFA does continue to support the fire response. Our Type 3 engine was deployed with 3 personnel on August 1st, as well as our UTV being deployed on August 2nd. That was all to support suppression efforts. FCFA has remained fully staffed with the addition of personnel added Friday, August 8th. So we all three engine companies are staffed 3-0. That was really in response to the fire coming into the WASNA area and starting to threaten Lopez Lake area and East Aurora Grande. We did hold a community meeting on August 7th at the fire station in Aurora Grande that was attended by approximately 140 people. And I continue to participate in daily operational briefings to remain informed on the fire activity and impacts throughout the county. As of this afternoon, the fire was listed at 131,000 acres and 37% contained. Strategic firing operations are going on as I speak up in the Garcia Wilderness area. Try to keep the fire within the established containment lines. This is on the north end of the fire. And as for Oceano specifically, we've ran 412 calls in Oceano year to date of the 2,844 calls total for FCFA. And we have applied for a SAFER grant. That would be to add additional personnel to that third engine company. So we're waiting to hear back from that. That's okay. The end of my report.
Okay. I listened to a couple of those meetings, and those are very positive and informative. So
the incident management team's doing a great job. They've cycled through being, whether it was in Santa Maria community meetings, Rio Grande, Santa Margarita, San Luis. So trying to do their best.
Yeah, so it's good. So thank you for that.
Any other questions?
Any other comments?
Doing a great job on that fire.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your work.
Right. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
You too. Okay, and then is our general manager is
not here tonight, but I do have the utilities report.
Okay.
President Gibson, I'm happy to provide that.
Okay, so we'll let you do the operations first and then your admin after.
Correct. So we'll start with utility operations report for the month of July. They performed daily rounds. They sampled weekly. They performed 18 work orders of 28 USAs, 12 service calls, 3 after-hour call-outs, 1 call-out for the Lopez plant shutdown, and they went to groundwater for a period of time. There was a call-out to the Coastal Dunes RV Park due to lack of water there. A call out to 2441 Wilmar for emergency water line break. They had a contractor assist in fixing that repair. Staff finished up the year-end inventory of assets and did their first of the month equipment runs. They put up American flags for 4th of July light poles on Highway 1. And they had contractors come out to the sheriff's station for repairs due to a sewer backup. Staff has been working with Commander McDaniel and his team in the county on a higher number than usual of maintenance repairs on the sheriff's substation. They camered and cleaned out the sewer hotspots, meter reads for highs and lows, weed abatement at the yard and well 8. They pulled the lift station motor and cleaned it out when it got clogged due to solid waste. There was a main shutdown for R. Baker for a broken water valve replacement on Paul Place. Two trash cans were installed, one at Oceano School on 19th Street and one on Pier Avenue. They removed a root hole intrusion on a manhole at Haas Lane. They took their third quarter PFAS samples and provided those for testing. They also met with Nipomo CSD to check out their Vactor equipment. We're looking to one of our top priority sewer projects is to replace our sewer jetter, and we're in the market. So we're starting to shop around and see what other utilities are using, what equipment they like, what equipment can be relied on or problematic. And they did a dead-end flush for Helena during their weekly water samples. Lopez report. It is at 85.8%, which is around 42,400 acre feet. There were no sanitary sewer overflows in July. And for water delivery in the last month, we did 33 acre feet of Lopez and 20 acre feet of pumped groundwater. Okay. So don't ask any questions about the utility report. That is all that I know about it.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. We'll move on to your
general manager's report. A little more familiar with these details. So I wanted to remind the board and the public that at the June 11th meeting, the board adopted new five-year rates for both sewer and water, and those rates are now in place, and they will begin to show up on the bills received at the end of September for the period from mid-July to mid-September. To alleviate customer confusion and frustration at times and allow staff to have more time to close out and wrap up work, the counter, bill pay, and customer service will begin closing at 4 p.m. instead of 4:30, okay. Beginning on August 18th. Staff has done a really good job of creating a flyer and putting it up there, and we have a lot of regular customers that come in, and we've been letting everyone know, and people seem to be okay with that minor change of a half hour. I mentioned that staff continues to work with the Sheriff's Office and the County Division of Real Property related to routine maintenance of the substation. We'll continue to do that since we still own the building next door. On July 15th, I attended a Board of Supervisors meeting regarding the adoption of our new state water transfer policies, which the Board of Supervisors supported unanimously. Near term for the OCSD, as you recall, this supports our potential for cost recovery on state water for sales outside the area, as well as providing more flexibility for temporary transfers within the county. On July 16th, OCSD and county staff met with JF Will to kick off the waterline replacement project, which is currently under construction, and we'll talk about that project a little later. There's a staff report related to that. Mr. Maricino identified a separate but related issue to the water lines being replaced, which will necessitate some valve replacements on Railroad near the current construction, and staff is likely to bring back a contractor proposal for to complete that valve replacement at your September meeting, so look out for that. On July 22nd, I met with the permitting agencies and the county staff in attempting to assist them with their pre-application on the habitat conservation plan related to the Arroyo Grande Creek restoration and Lopez Dam operations. I wanted to inform the board the county has finally, some might say, made substantial progress on completing the HCP and plans to submit a draft plan for consideration here in a few months. On July 30th, staff and directors Rose and Austin attended the ribbon cutting for the South County Sanitation District to celebrate their completion and the opening of the very complicated wastewater treatment plant redundancy project, which provides redundancy and increased capacity for wastewater treatment for all South County residents. And that was a great event to participate in. And congratulations to the staff and the board of the SAND District for getting that work done. And then my final note is that I believe I emailed you all to this effect, but just for reporting out, on August 8th, President Gibson and Mr. Schultz and I attended a Zone 3 and county meeting in attempt to discuss and agree upon fair share allocations and costs related to significant anticipated costs and the cost of Lopez water as a result of ongoing litigation. So that's the end of my manager's report.
Okay.
Happy to take any questions.
Any questions? No, very good. Should we have public comment?
Yep.
Yeah. So now we'll take public comment for any of the presentations or reports. Okay, no takers. Okay. So we'll go with the Board of Directors and our outside committee reports, and I'll go first. I'm in Zone 3 committee, and essentially we talked about the same thing with the litigation about the steelhead, and so that's just an ongoing issue. So that's all I have. Vice President Kim Rose?
I have nothing.
Okay, and Director Austin?
Well, yes, as Peter said, I attended the ribbon cutting as a board member of the sanitation district, and it was quite a nice affair. That had a big turnout. There was Carbajal's office and the other Assembly and Don Addison. Everybody was there except our county supervisor was not there, which we were surprised. But
Shirley, you broke it.
I was in the band.
Thank you. And so I don't know if we all remember, but when we had to do the big repair, we paid for it, and it was an insurance thing from Kennedy Jinks. It was a design error, and so we put out the money ahead of time, and they were to pay us back, and we said, you know, we went ahead and did it because we've worked with them for so long, and we know who they are. They were there in the very beginning of when the plant was built, Jinks. So it was supposed to be paid by July 31st, and the check came that day, $9,000. They paid us back for everything. They took care of all the repairs and stuff. So that was very good. So we're in good shape over there now. And that's it.
What did you say? Excuse me, Director Austin. What did you say? Was this even on? What did you say? The 9,000.
9 million.
Oh,
to fix the crack in the secondary clarifier was like had to be. They had to take all the.
I'm like, what?
All the, you know, they had to fix.
Was that $9 million to just for the repair?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's good. They came in just in time.
They took. took possession of it and took care of it. We moved on.
Okay, Director Villa.
Yes, I did attend the Oak Park meeting August 5th. And there at this meeting, we voted unanimously to approve $750 for T-shirts for the ribbon cutting ceremony for our track. It's now complete, so if you had time to go look at it, I did. I walked it, and it was pretty cool. I'm like, oh, now all I want is for me to be able to walk with my dog. I don't know if that's going to be possible. But it is very nice, so if you have time to check it out. Oceano Elementary is also going to pitch in with another $750 for people to get T-shirts. The date of the ribbon cutting is to be announced, and it should be exciting. There should be press coverage. This is, like, exciting for our community. We don't get very many things here in our community when it comes to rec. So this is exciting because it's not repair. It's actually something new that the community can use. We also voted 4-1 to reconsider Charles Varney as a representative for representing Oceano Beach Community Association. It is one of the associations in the bylaws that is able to have a representative. So that's basically about what was said. And for those of you that don't know what Oak Park is, it's the Oceano Parks and Recreation Committee.
So when you have your ribbon cutting, are you having like activities like a race or?
Yeah, that's to be discussed and announced.
Yeah, that'll be great for all the kids. Okay, and Director Joyce Sunnison.
Let's see if we can come back to her. Can we come back to her? Because she's looking for the notes. She can't find the notes. Where you found them?
No, that's not them.
Okay.
Well, we did pick the middle logo. Or the T-shirt.
The middle one. It's pretty cool.
Maybe Carrie can pass it to the audience.
It's pretty cool. It's got the dolphin.
Yeah. I'm going to pass it to the audience.
Okay. You found it?
Yeah.
She found it.
So.
Okay.
Do you have any more?
We did talk about everybody on the board, with the exception of one person, wanted to reinstate Charles as part of our group, and the one person, even when he was asked, was unable to come up with a reasoning why he didn't want Charles there, other than he just didn't. And so that doesn't really sound like reasoning to me. And when you're working for the community, you're working for the community. You're supposed to be working to care and make better what you're doing. It's not a, you know, holding a grudge, or I don't know how to put it, but it's just, it's just not right to say, oh, well, you know, we don't like that person, so the fact that he's doing good for the community doesn't matter. We're going to hold a grudge.
Okay. Any more?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll take public comment on our special presentations and reports. Does anybody want to come up?
I'm on Oak Park's board, Beverly. I'm the one that said he shouldn't be on it. He's been negative in a lot of different things. Okay, he's been on this board. He got kicked off. He's just not, he wants to shut down the dunes. He wants to do so many things negative. The track is super awesome, but it's a walking track. It's not a sports track. There's a lot of other stuff in that school that needed more attention to than wasting the money on that track. It's just, he just shouldn't be on the board. He could be out here sharing what he needs to share, but he shouldn't be on anything. He's really negative. And you know he is. I've been to several of his meetings, and he just wants to fight with everyone. Thank you. My name's Sonny.
Thank you for your comment. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is April Dury. I'm an Oceana resident and a lifelong member of the Five Cities, Arroyo Grande. I need my old lady glasses. I would like to say that Oak Park, from the times that I've been, is a friendly, purely volunteer, and thankfully supremely dedicated group of community members. Their meetings are an important component to the work that they are accomplishing, and in that vein, I've attended several of them and seen the work that they have accomplished and the way that they get along really well. So it's disheartening to hear that we have one squeaky wheel out of all of them who chose to be on a committee that doesn't seem to like the committee. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know what the dunes have to do with the track around Oceana School. They're not the same thing. So I really respect what you said, Ms. Sunnison, about holding a grudge. That doesn't seem to be in the spirit of what a volunteer committee is about. So I hope that the person who is holding a grudge would change their attitude or decide to get off something that's purely voluntary that everyone is doing to help the community and not hold a grudge. Thank you.
Thank you. President Gibson, if I may, just for point of order and clarification, when it comes to committee report outs, the standard practice is to talk about what committee you attended, any pertinent actions. I think we've kind of swerved into more like opinions and preferences. That's one issue. And the second one that Mr. Minery may have a comment or two on is item 8D on your agenda relates to what's been spoken about, which is reconsideration of an application. What we don't want to do is take up time for comments that are on the agenda later on. Yeah. Those should be saved for that time. So did I cover it?
Your general manager just said everything I was supposed to say.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I get an honorary law degree? No.
So are there any other comments that are not about Oak Park? On our presentations and reports.
Hi, Charles Varney. I had a question about the Sanitation District and the upcoming May of 2027 requirement by the Coastal Commission that they report to the Executive Director what their plans are for addressing the Coastal Commission's mandate that they be planning for a tentative relocation of the entire operation and the building of a state-of-the-art tertiary treatment plant that recycles all municipal water, which will probably, not that I have any expertise in calling this, $250, $300 million. So I'd like to know what is the, has the district started planning for this? And in particular, what is their community engagement process around this to include our community and Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande? And I would appreciate an answer that is something other than I should go to the sanitation district meetings and find out. This is my community services district that's a member of this, of the sanitation district, and I think that I should be able to hear from the district what the status of that process is. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment.
Good evening, Julie Tacker, and I was not going to speak specifically to the OPARC report, but I will speak to what your general manager said and your attorney seconded, in that the director's report about the specific appointee conversation that occurred is reporting about the meeting. And you're all allowed to do that. So I disagree with that position that was stated. And because the minutes from that meeting are not in this packet, the June 10th meeting minutes are, we can't see exactly what was discussed and notated in minutes. So we're counting on you. And you, and you, and you, wherever you go to a meeting, and the minutes are not included at the time of this meeting, we're counting on you to give us a report. And if it happens to be the specifics of the any kind of controversy or, certainly appointing a member to the committee is part of the action that was that took place. So I disagree with Mr. Brown that this somehow went into personalities and opinions. And that is my position and my position, my opinion.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. Mr. Brown, did you wanna discuss sanitation district? I mean,
I think maybe just briefly, we did invite Mr. Gent to come and present on this item. I think it was even at Mr. Varney's request. So at that time, Mr. Gent did give an outline of the timeline and the plan response, the details of which were in his slideshow. In my conversations with him, you know, I do believe that they are on track for their 2027 reporting to the Coastal Commissions as required by their conditional use permit. But beyond what was presented by Mr. Gent, I don't have any new information. I believe, as far as I know, that the Sand District is on track. Just kind of bigger picture so everyone's aware, there's a long-term plan, and I think it's out another 20 or 30 years beyond 2027. Where there's a deadline for some of those relocation plans and perhaps even required relocation of the plant. But at this time, my understanding is that the Sand District is on track to do their reporting, and that reporting will have a lot of the details, I think, perhaps that Mr. Varney is looking for, where we'll learn a lot about where they are, what feasibility, what their options are. And at the end of the day, I think every 10 years they're going to have to report again, so 37 and 47. So.
That's correct. Thank you, Peter.
Okay, so now we're going to take the consent agenda. So if the board wants to review that and see if you want to change any of the items, pull them, or have discussion.
President Gibson, while the board ponders that, I did want to take a moment to highlight item 7D, something that stood out to me on the submittal of the district's fiscal year quarter four investment report. This is one of the three large reports that Mrs. Cassiola puts together for us and really does a fine job of tracking and monitoring all of our finances. What stood out to me in this quarterly report is that the district earned, I want to get the number right, maybe I'll just pull up the report and look at it so I don't misspeak, $41,681 in interest earned in the quarter. So that's one of the higher levels of interest we've ever earned in a quarter, and we've done so by managing the money well, keeping it both liquid as well as invested in terms of our reserves. And so kudos to Ms. Cassiola for her active management and just report to the board that that's a significant amount of interest income for the district in the last quarter.
Thank you, Ms. Cassiola. Okay, so does the board have any changes to the consent agenda or?
I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Okay, we have a first. Oh, okay. Public comment first.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and I would like to speak to item 7E, that is the designation of interim district council to serve as the labor negotiator pursuant to government code section 549.57.6. When you read the staff report, there's a discussion and there's an alternative. You're about to just pass it through without speaking to any discussion or alternative. So I don't know if this should have been on your consent calendar. And then I take issue with the actual item itself in that there's been no reportable action related to Mr. Brown's performance review. And so what I'm learning here is that the board is the board is in discussions with Mr. Brown over compensation, and you need a labor negotiator, whether it's Mr. Schultz, as the description in the agenda item suggests it's just district council, but the alternative is for the two board members, which would be at no additional cost, where you do have to hire Mr. Schultz by the hour to do this negotiating. I'm just confused about the timing of it. The performance reviews are annually. So why is there this perception that there's ongoing discussions now? You had a performance review. I'm sure he got the COLA. Starting July 1st, the raise occurred. A raise occurred. And so I don't know why the timing of this is now. As you get closer to the next performance review, then you can pick somebody to do the negotiations, should there be any necessary negotiations after your review.
Thank you for your comment.
Good evening. I also wish to speak to this issue and echo, since the room is empty, no one's really coming here to talk about it, that there has not been a performance review out of closed session. No yay, nay, or hit the road, or
be here? Nothing. We have no idea. So what is this? We're at a point where we're talking more money for a thing that we haven't even, like, the public doesn't know if you are all in on this person or not all in on this person. We would like to know that before you make decisions like this in closed session. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board.
I think, well, if the board does have the option, if any board members want to discuss it, of appointing two board members in lieu of Mr. Schultz, but that's certainly at the discretion of the board. So if there's no discussion about that, then you're certainly welcome to move forward with consent agenda as it is.
Okay. Does anyone want to discuss?
Well, we can't discuss what's been talked about already in closed session.
No.
Yeah. So I think so just the public is kind of like confused because it's still going on.
Right.
It hasn't, we haven't, there's not like a final decision. It's, could you?
There's been no reportable action at a closed session.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think your decision that your board has presented can be stacked. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did we have a first? I thought she. Oh, okay. Do you want to make your motion again?
I didn't make a motion.
Yeah, we did that before.
Okay.
To
you need a first, a second, and a roll call.
Yeah.
For the consent.
On the agenda.
For the consent.
The consent agenda.
Oh, okay. Okay. Repeat the same motion. Okay. Or do I just need a second?
No, just.
I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Okay. There's a first.
And I second.
In roll call.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay. Okay, we're turning to business items. First, we have 6-1A, and this is to do with frontage fees on Front Street. Mr. Brown.
Yeah, thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. The item before you tonight under business item 8A is consideration of a request to approve a reduced front footage fee for the property at 1900 Front Street. It is recommended.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that either. Okay, so do you want to start over?
I might
over?
Just pause and make sure that everyone who needs to be at the dais is here.
So due to a perceived conflict of interest, I will step down.
Okay. Thank you, sure, Director Austin.
Yeah,
it's best if you step aside and we'll come get you when this item's done.
Yeah. Comment for the public and the record. Ms. Austin does own the Triangle Park, which I believe you're all aware of, that is almost 600 feet away from the property at issue. In the abundance of caution, Ms. Austin has determined to step away from this item, although there is no presumption of conflict at this time. There is no presumption of conflict that any action on the next item will have any impact on the value of her property, which, as far as I can tell, is essentially none. Thank you.
Okay, that clarifies that.
Okay. Let me start again. Apologies for the minor confusion there, but the item before the board is a recommendation that the board review and consider the attached request for reduction in the front footage fees for 1900 Front Street. And I'll speak a little bit about the project and the rationale for that, if it pleases the board. So currently, the undeveloped 1.5-acre parcel at 1900 Front Street runs 627 feet along Highway 1. And as you all know, and most water districts have front footage fees, and that basically speaks to the fact that the longer the frontage of a property, the more expensive it is to build and maintain water lines to serve that property. The calculated connection fee for this project, if you follow a district code, the total connection fees are $95,780, but the biggest portion of that is the $51,000 in front footage fees. If you look at our, I think it's basically page 2 of the staff report, where we highlight the fact that the district's adopted cost is $81.60. If you multiply 8160 times 627, that comes out to $51,163, which is a pretty big expense for a connection fee and a front footage fee. And just as background information, the purpose of the connection fee is to pay for system expansion and demand that new development replaces on district infrastructure. There needs to be a nexus between the fees charged and the burden that new development places on the infrastructure that it requires. This is part of the rationale that is in favor of the reduced fees. The fact that the proposal is to connect to an existing line and not build a new line the length of the property tells us that there would not be a strong rationale for the full connection fee. The other points that are worth noting on page 3 of the staff report is that there is a way to look at capacity charges that speaks to commercial projects, and that we calculate a single-family dwelling equivalency factor established by the meter size. Staff prepared a fee reduction for this project, which reduces the front footage to the required minimum of $4,080 per single-family residence equivalency. And a commercial project that requires 1-inch meter has the equivalent of 4 single-family residents. So if you multiply 4 times that 4,080 fee, the appropriate fee staff believes is more closer to $16,320 as opposed to the $51,163 if you do a straight front footage calculation. Hopefully you're following this. The resulting reduction would be close to $35,000, a 36% reduction in total fees. The applicant, I think, obviously supports this, as did staff, but we do not have the authority to offer these type of reductions. Only the board does, and that's why it's before you tonight. And in terms of the other agency involvement section, we did point out that the board had done a similar thing back in 2018, and staff provided some background as to that similar rationale. So at this time, I'm happy to take any board questions before you open it up to public comment, and I'm sure the applicant would like to speak.
Yeah, so I noticed there are only 2 restrooms, and is that the only water use besides landscaping, et cetera?
We believe that'll be a part of it. If it's auto-related, there could be, you know, auto washing, some level of use for things other than landscaping and the 2 bathroom fixtures. But the nice thing about our current and adopted rates is that we'll be able to capture both their base and their usage charge and their water fee.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and so basically this is for car storage, and how many cars would fit in there?
That would be a question more for the applicant. But if there are any other questions related to our fee structure ordinance, I'm happy to take those, and then you might want to go to public comment at that point.
So in other words, the district is not going to be losing any money, right? This is just lowering their fees?
Yeah, well,
there's no need for that amount of water.
Yeah, so the Mitigation Fee Act requires us to have a nexus between the impact of the new development and our cost of providing service. I would say that if we did envision and we had in our CIP a future water line along Highway 1, We would not be in the same position being able to recommend a reduction in fees because we would need that money for the new future infrastructure. But because the current proposal is to tap into an existing line, I think it's on the kind of the southeast end of the property, we shouldn't.
And that should satisfy that, their needs.
Exactly. So I guess, you know, the way you asked your question is, are we losing fees? We're reducing our connection fee. But I believe it's appropriate based on the proposal before us.
Okay. So we're saving
$35,000.
The district. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah.
Win for us, a win for him.
How are we saving
money? I'm not sure I understood. We're not saving money. We're declining to collect what the code says we would. Yeah. It would be a $35,000 in connection fee that we're not collecting. Mm-hmm. But we're also not building a new water line adjacent to the property.
Exactly. Right. So we're kind of doing a minimal amount and what the fees reflect that.
Okay. I'm the guy who's paying the bill.
Yeah.
Maybe I could explain.
Well, let's give us a moment. Yeah. And does that help, Director Villa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other board questions on the report?
Not right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, do you want to come up and?
Sure. Well, I just like to. I'm Scott Brunford. It's going to be my place. And so it's going to be a showroom and storage area. I'm an auto restorer, I restore old Mercedes Benz. And we just need some space to put our cars. In addition to that, it's going to be a positive for the area in terms of we're doing very, there's like a half a dozen people certainly in the country, maybe in the world, that do what we do. And so it brings interest that wouldn't normally come to Oceano. Because of our association with it. There, as it's intended now, we're not going to have anybody there full-time. About the only use, as far as what we're talking about today, the water is, there's going to be a couple of toilets and some irrigation. There's not going to be anybody living there, anybody working there. Initially, I have a shop, we have a ranch up in Corbett Canyon, and I have a workshop there, and we have a storage barn there where we put the cars, and there's problems with mice and so on. So this is a better idea. We're kind of excited about doing this. It's a fairly large risk, but expenditure for us. But I believe this area is kind of the hidden gem of the Central Coast, which I think is one of the best places to live in the world. So I think it's a good idea. We also will bring, we have clubs that come make arrangements to come to see the cars that we have and the work that we're doing. We have probably at least a half a dozen of those come here, including the Peterson Museum, which is certainly the foremost automotive museum in Southern California and perhaps in the United States. And so they come once a year, probably 75 members. They all have, special cars. It's kind of a little car show that goes with it. And, I'm open to the idea, if we can, of, any way that we can help the community or add to the community. Cars are kind of a thing, especially with baby boomers, having a car. And the car show and car maintenance and things like that are interesting to people, can bring in people, outside people. We have people come from, we had a customer today that showed up from, one of our customers, he's on the East Coast. He's showing a car at Pebble Beach that we've just finished for him. And Pebble Beach is sort of the premier car show, well, certainly in the country. And I judge there, so that also brings you know, some interest to the community. I think the building, if you've looked at it, is a beautiful building. It's going to be, I think, you know, one of the nicer, if not the nicest thing downtown. I'm very interested in history. My specialization is in preservation. We do restoration, but we also, I judge at this particular show that's coming up next week, preservation cars. And, you know, Oceano has a very rich history that sort of disappeared, you know, shortly after it started. And, you know, I think there's an opportunity for, hopefully, for the community to, I mean, there's really nothing, or very little left of, you know, the pavilion and the pier and all of those things that brought people here. Could have been another Santa Monica, but for whatever reasons, it wasn't. And I think there's an opportunity, again, to, because it is such a special place, to, you know, some sort of a renaissance. And for whatever reasons, nobody in 150 years has wanted to get involved with that piece of property, yeah, except me. And there was a another, what was it, a dollar store that was going to go in there. And I think it's been a difficult thing. We tried doing, and I thought that maybe we'd develop it and put a, you know, mix, some sort of a mixed-use commercial and just use part of it. And that became so complicated that towards the end of it, and expensive, that I just said, I'm not going to do it. Okay. And this expense that's come up now is just kind of like, I didn't even know there was an expense on this, and that we've already made some commitments and financing and so on, and now it's another $95,000. So, you know, I hope you can understand my point, and I think that
sure,
Peter has given you sort of a understanding that we,
yeah,
in terms of, okay, technically, we're not going to use much water.
Okay.
We almost.
Thank you for the information.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Do you want to bring it back to the board, or? Okay. Okay. So we'll take public comment on this.
Charles Barney. Just to make open comment with the fact that I'm a little bit uncomfortable that this is coming to you with a recommendation from the general manager that this is something that you should do. I think that this should be here as a information item for you, and then you make the decision in terms of how you want to move forward with it. This project violates every component of the specific plan for Oceano, the revitalization plan for Oceano, land use preference survey results, every community engagement that's been done about what people want to see in downtown Oceano. Nobody ever said they want to see a private car collection garage that contributes literally nothing to the community. Now, that being said, I respect that Mr. Grunfor is moving forward with the project. So the district, Mr. Brown is proposing that the district give him a $35,000 gift. It isn't just about hooking up the water to his place. Upstream, there's a whole lot of infrastructure work that's going on, millions and millions of dollars of it. That fee helps pay for that. What happens if Mr. Grunfor isn't around and that place gets sold and it's converted into four apartment buildings, which is what Mr. Grunfor was going to do, which would have been a wonderful project for downtown Oceano, four commercial buildings with eight apartments on top of them? Wonderful. But that's not happening. The fee structure was put together for a reason. It's fair, it's rational, it's logical. The district, you all should stick with that formula. There's no reason to forgive him $35,000 that somebody else is going to have to pay eventually, or collectively in our water rates. We will pay for that missing money. We're not saving anything. We're giving away money. and why. I don't see the reason.
Thank you for your comment.
Julie Tacker, if you go to page 62 of your board packet, and you go, 64 of the board packet, and you go to the other financial considerations, and read with me carefully. A district revenue difference slash loss of $34,843.20 in connection fees is anticipated, resulting in a commensurate customer project development cost savings. So it is costing the district and saving Mr. Grunfer. That is not good financial sense. Okay? That's just math. Frontage fees, while you may not be putting in new infrastructure for this project, what Mr. Varney just said is if a future owner wants to change the use at that property and add on or make something else, then you don't get to collect more fees. Mr. Brown provided a precedential example of having the district having waived fees in the past, but he didn't provide examples where the district denied waivers, denied giving the developer money. This is a private project. This is not something that you're going to go shopping at. You might see pretty cars lined up out there, but this community doesn't benefit from that. Two items from now on your agenda, you're going to be talking about grants. The fact that you give a private developer a $35,000 break looks bad to grant providers. That money's coming from all taxpayers to help your community, where you have one ratepayer right here, right now, that owes you, per your rate schedule, $35,000. You need to take it. Do not set a precedent tonight for every other property owner.
Thank you for your comments.
The red light didn't go on. I still have time, and you're okay. Interrupting me. Good grief. So my question to you is, are you prepared to waive frontage fees for every property that comes before you in the future that doesn't need a new pipe? I don't think you are. So I hope you decline this request.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else?
So I'm the proposed builder for the project.
Your name, sir?
Scott Logan, Logan Construction Inc. And I think maybe there's some, a lot of confusion with what the lady just said. I assume she's not a developer or a builder because a lot of the things didn't really make sense. First off, with what the general manager said, he's 100% correct as far as doing the proportionate billing for these impact fees. In fact, the fees are still higher. You know, there's state laws that require impact fees to be based on, I believe it, I don't remember the exact.
Proportionality.
Yeah, so in this case, the only reason we even have a one-inch meter is because isn't that the minimum required for commercial? We would be fine with a half-inch water meter to supply this project, as you heard Mr. Grunfort, his description of what's going to take place when the project's complete. Also, as far as future development goes, I'm not sure if everyone here's aware, but there's a basin in unbuildable land. So they basically crammed their building into the one area that could be used. And let's say down the road, they did something to mitigate the issues with the soil and everything, decided to build. They're going to need to change the use, so they'll need a conditional use permit, so they'll be back in here talking with you guys. And at that time, you could impose those fees that are, they're not a break. What those fees are, you're not losing $35,000. You're keeping someone who's willing to risk money on Oceana in the game. As this other gentleman mentioned, he would love multi-use and commercial business with residential units on top. So would my client. But due to the exorbitant costs of doing that, we ended up with nothing. And now he's back in the game trying to make something work with a different use. And then to have this fee that we went to Oceano and we got a list of fees early on, and they were not in our budget. So then we go to the bank for financing, and then we receive this huge expense, and that's why we're at today. So that's just my two cents. I wouldn't say you're losing anything, you're gaining, and it's better to have something than nothing. And we all know that in this state, everything's exorbitant on price. We all have family and friends and
children. Thank you for your comment.
Afford to live here.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you. April again. Giving away $35,000 in fees so that $800,000 of vehicles can sit in a private garage. That's just three cars he has listed on his website for sale right now. $35,000 our disadvantaged community is giving away that we have the right to bill for, to charge for this man to sell a $385,000 car privately. And that's great, but I don't know who's going to buy a $385,000 cabriolet to then go park at Central Market and shop. That's not happening in our community. It doesn't happen. This man doesn't stay in our community. He lives out in the canyon. We are a disadvantaged community. That means something. Why are you giving away, or why would you, I would ask, give away the opportunity to help the ratepayers with $35,000 fee that you have the right to get, while our GM, out of one hand, he's holding out to ask for a raise, and in his other hand, he's telling you that he thinks that you should give away $35,000 of ratepayer money. I don't understand the logic behind that. So these are another thing that I want to point out. There's an acre's worth of land for landscaping. Where's the water talk on that? There's more to this project before you need to make a decision tonight. I think that really, taking all the things into consideration, maybe that's what we could walk away with, is there's no law that says you have to make a decision tonight and give away $35,000 of ratepayer money. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else?
My name's Sunny. I think the development would be awesome for this community. It would help restaurants. It'd bring more people. He knows a lot more car clubs that would come and love the ocean. And then they would want to come more. I mean, they got to see what Oceano's like. And I'm a director on the Pismo Chamber of Commerce. So when you're ready for ribbon cutting, you could cut that ribbon. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Anyone else?
Carrie Langford. As a 40-year resident of this area, I've seen Oceano grow very slowly, and still not sure where the real attraction is outside of the beach. We have an airport. There are certain people in this room that want to close those two down. Doesn't make a lot of sense when you're saying you are against spending $34,000 or whatever the fee on this water, but yet you want to shut a beach down that could generate a lot more than that and just the visitors. Anyway, and giving credit, it's not shutting down the whole beach, it's only shutting down a portion, but you're still talking a sizable amount of people that do come in and use this community for the beach and the dunes. And I'm sitting here listening to something that, if we recall, Sonny, you really struck me to come up here and say something. I'm coming to your restaurant tomorrow. Talking anyway. Doesn't this sound like something that we went through just several years ago, complaining about how much the general manager makes, how much money the general manager is wasting, and it seems like we're going right back to the same dog and pony show that we were doing a couple years ago. It's just got a different little topic or title to it. And it's like, let's move forward. And with this car, I had an old friend. I don't know if you ever knew John Muckle. John Muckle was his name. Anyway, he had many cars up at Monterey.
You need to speak.
I'm sorry. Anyway, the money that Oceana would put out, would it not generate more money coming in with car shows? These people that have $300,000 cars, believe me, they put out some money to come in and they like to show it off. And so what could actually be of a financial benefit to this town? You got to look at the big picture, not just the small picture. Let's see.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Okay, anyone left? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board.
Thank you.
Does the board have any more comments or questions?
Okay. I have a question. You own this property, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I've been following this property for a while. And I think at first you were talking about putting residents up top or something. And looking at that property, there's semis going back and forth all the time. There's semis, trucks, and the trains, and the cars. And I was thinking, why would you want to live there, first of all? Okay, the property's been sitting undeveloped. And thank you for cleaning it up lately and weeding and getting everything fireproof. I believe, for me, it makes sense. The building is beautiful. It brings something new. It's not all flashy and says, you know, garage, whatever. It's a beautiful building. Okay? And for us to step back and say, putting myself in the developer's shoes and saying, we're only going to use this much money. We don't need to pay for a line down the highway. It's already there. It makes perfect sense to me. So why wouldn't we do that? As a person, doing that as a development makes sense. If we can do it, why not? And then you progress and bring stuff to the community as well. Again, in the future, should somebody decide they want to live in the middle of the railroad tracks and the highway and everything, that's a second thing that we have to look at down the road. But for now, I don't see any problem with it. It's already there. Let's hook it up. Let's move on. That's my comment.
We got a bunch of noise in the back of the room.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we hold it down back there, please? Okay.
That's all I have.
Board discussion.
Pardon?
Board discussion.
Yeah, board discussion. I would agree with that, Director Rose. And is there any way you can incorporate your washing cars with your landscaping somehow?
We're not going to be washing a lot of cars.
Oh, you're not?
One of the reasons that we're...
You can use the microphone, please?
Yeah.
So to get to my place, you have to drive down a half-mile dirt road. So you can imagine taking, as this lady was saying, those cars that are for sale are not my cars. We act as a broker for those cars. And driving those cars down there was something when I moved here I had to get used to, and I have. You know, you can wash a car if it gets dirty, but it's a problem. And so one of the other reasons is we want to put these cars, get them clean, and leave them there. So they shouldn't, I mean, occasionally I suppose we'll be washing the car, but right now, we don't have, you know, any plans to really
man the place. It's going to be a storage area. I think it'll look very nice. The rest of the property is problematic to build on. It may be possible to mitigate that. The water use is, it's just ridiculous. We're not going to be using any water.
Okay, thank you.
That's it.
Director Villa?
Well,
any comments or questions?
I have a lot of comments and questions and thoughts. On the one hand, I do understand that he is the owner, that it's been there forever, was undeveloped forever. Nobody wanted to buy it for whatever reason. They thought it was too expensive. Maybe, I don't know. So being that he is the owner, and obviously this project is on that has gone through with the permitting and all that, it's a done thing. It's going to go up. I'm glad that the building is beautiful, and it'll enhance Oceano. I was happy to hear that you said that you are planning on doing events there that would draw people to our community. I think that's great. It's good for our community. It's good for business. Also, I see car shows are very popular, and I think they'll be popular here in Oceano. If you were to do once a year or twice a year, that would be great. Sometimes it brings too many people, and some people don't like it because they get overwhelming sometimes. But it is good. It is good for business, and it is good for the community to be known that there's something going on. Like some people have told me, nothing really goes on in Oceano. So, on the other hand, the $35,000, being that we are disadvantaged and it is taxpayer money, that just like tears me out. I don't know, I'm like, is the $35,000 going to be a significant amount to where you can't pay it? This project will be delayed, or is it?
I think I'm a generous person. I am. And this thing so far is cost, I paid more to get to this point than it's cost me to buy the property, which seems a little crazy. And it's like, I don't know, you get to a point where it's, it's up to here. And I don't
all
think.
All the permits and
I
stuff.
I agree with you. I think that it's really short-sighted to think that this isn't going to be a real positive thing for the community, and all I'm asking for is just fairness here. That's what I think it's about. It's not whether I can afford it or am able to do it. It just does not seem fair. I would like to have a relationship with the community, and you certainly are part of the community, which I think is based on fairness. I think you'll be very happy when I build this. I think everybody will. Maybe a few people won't, but I think they, whatever their story is, they won't be happy anyway. So that's what it's about. That you're going to treat me in a decent way, and that it just seems to me like this was, you got 600 some feet times 80, and this is what it's going to be. And the mitigating factors we've
talked
about.
Okay, the impact is going to be, what did you say? It doesn't, what's that word you were using?
Proportionality.
Proportionate to
it's
the project.
Not.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So, and that you will be saving the $35,000. If I was in your place, I would like to save those $35,000 myself. So I kind of, I understand where you're coming from. I also hope that if the majority of us vote for this project, that you will go through with your word and that you will do the best to, bring people to our community for at least a once a year car show in your business so that it brings business to Oceano. And
I will.
Because you are saving these $35,000, so kind of like, we hope that you will.
Yeah. Well, again,
and I'm glad that the building is the design that you went for that design and not like some, box, simple,
Yeah,
type of design. I saw what it looks like, and it looks it's very appealing curb appeal. So thank you for that.
Okay, well, I consider myself to be a straight-ahead, honorable person. I take care of my stuff. I've been doing this. Actually, I've never worked for anybody else. I started when I was 14 years old working, and by the time I was 19, I had a body shop, and it just kind of continued like this. And my son is going to take over for me, and he's doing a great job. And I think this is more for him than it is for me. I'm at my age, I wouldn't be doing this sort of a thing because it's a fairly substantial risk. I just don't have $2 million to put into something like this. But I don't think you'll be disappointed. And I think this, what we're talking about now is just, it's fairness. You know, the fact that you can charge me more doesn't mean that you should charge me more. And I could pay it, but I don't think that that's a fair thing. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Thank you for your comment. Director Joyce Sunnison?
No, I have no comment.
Okay.
President Gibson, if I may, briefly, one of the commenters, I think maybe erroneously claimed that the general manager was recommending that the board grant a reduction in front footage fees. But just to be clear, the staff report reads, it is recommended that the board of directors review and consider the attached request for a reduction in front footage fees from the applicant. So to be clear, that's the process. It's the board's discretion. I mentioned that in my presentation. This is not something that the staff does or has the authority to do. But what we did do in the staff report is provide rationale and justification in the event that the board does decide to grant a portion of the connection fee waiver. And, of course, the board also has the discretion to deny the request or to honor the request in part. So those are all at the discretion of the board. So I just want to clarify those things so that you're all aware.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we're all done with our questions and everything. So I'd like to make a motion to approve reduced front footage fees for Scott Grundifer, 1900 Front Street, in the amount of...
The staff identified amount. I think it was $34,000, and I'll get it for you right here. Thank you.
Okay, that's my motion.
And I second.
Okay, roll call, please.
President Gibson. President Gibson.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry. Vice President Rose.
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
No.
And Director Villa?
Yes.
Okay. All right, now we're moving to business item. Yes. Oh, okay, yeah, go get Linda and we'll just get ready for item 87, approve a revised professional service agreement with Canon Corporation.
Let Director Austin come back, and then I'll jump into this staff report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Did she leave?
Yes,
no. Oh, okay.
Do we want to take a 5-minute break, anybody?
The discretion of the board.
Okay, Linda.
Sure.
5-minute break?
Do a quick one.
Okay.
5-minute break.
I need some peanut M&Ms. Let's bring the board back to order.
Okay.
Okay, I think we're ready to go here.
Yep.
So, Mr. Brown, the number B... 8B.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. So before you on this item is consideration of approval for a revised professional services agreement with Canon Corporation for construction management, adding pavement engineering, incorporated materials, and compaction testing, and for Canon to continue to oversee the work of JF Will and Company related to the waterline replacement construction project. We're also going to do a little bit of a project update. The project is underway. And it's going smoothly in terms of the actual digging up and replacing of the water lines. a director or two may let you know that not every single customer has been satisfied so far. Turns out they don't like getting their water shut off for long periods of time with 2 or 3 days notice.
No, they do not.
But we've worked out a few of those issues. I think we had a similar one to the hotel where Rock and Roll Diner was going to have a hard time with the shutdown, and staff went above and beyond and provided temporary water service to them as well. But in terms of the actual project and the replacement of the water lines, that's going very smoothly, and we're happy to work with both Canon as well as JF Will. And now, because our contract, as well as the county standards for roadway rehabilitation, require compaction, testing, and sampling to make sure that when we rebuild the roadway back, it's the right density and thickness. PEI specializes in that, and we're looking to add them to the contract with Canon. I put together a table, I think it's on the third page of the staff, or the second page of the staff report, that kind of highlights where the money's coming from. The board-approved contract was $637,000. The bulk of that, obviously, is going to JF Will. We had the contract approved from Canon prior at $37,000, but that did not include the materials and compaction testing. And so the net difference of that is $11,671, and staff is proposing that we use existing contingencies. We've done a good job of preparing for this type of situation, so there's no new budget being requested. We're going to use existing contingencies, but I just wanted the board to know and to approve the amended contract so that everything is good with Canon and that PEI is on board. I did highlight one other thing that I wanted to bring to the board's attention while I have it. It is that three of the roadways, Truman, Mendel, and Railroad, have recently been repaved by the county, and they therefore require a higher level of pavement restoration, a grind and an overlay, and a brand new inch and a half to 6 inches of asphalt on top. I think the contractor, when they bid the project, they had planned on just putting trenches on top of the new water lines, and the county is requiring substantial improvement above what the contractor bid on. Creatively, I went out there with Mr. Maricino, with Todd from Canon, and with JF Will, and one of the things we did to troubleshoot that is on Railroad, just south of the Rock and Roll Diner, where the designer had put the water line essentially in the middle of the road. We were able to move the water line off the shoulder, off of the asphalt, and not impact the roadway at all. And so that saved us, I think, around $10,000 of not having to cut into the road. And so we're going to put the new pipeline in a new location as a way to kind of cost save that. That's on the good side. On the flip side, I note in the staff report that of the $72,000 remaining in construction contingency, we do anticipate a good portion of that being required for the enhanced pavement restoration that we'll have to do at the end of the project. So I think what's anticipated now is when we're done and the five water lines are replaced, we'll then come back and get an estimate for the restoration required for the two roads and most likely use contingencies for that as well. But I'm happy to take any questions from the board on the project or on this contract amendment.
I have a question on the north swing. Is that what you were talking about, where they moved the pipeline?
We did it on Railroad. So North Swing, I don't believe there's any relocation there. It's where we originally designed it.
It looks like there was, I mean, it looks like they took out the sidewalk and everything.
Yeah, I think that was part of the original design. So I was talking about kind of a after the design was approved amendment. But
will they put the sidewalk back in?
Yeah, they're putting the sidewalk back in. So they've submitted concrete standards that have been reviewed and approved by myself and by Canon Engineering. So those will go back, the driveway aprons and the sidewalk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that it's going to be increased by $11,000 and the $11,314, but this is covered by contingency fees that we already had approved.
Correct.
And that's just for materials.
That's
because
for
we need to use different materials.
It's because we need to test and compact appropriately, and then we need to provide a test that shows that we've compacted to 95%. And this company specializes in that type of testing. So, yeah, you're correct.
This is just the materials. It's not the widening.
No.
That's going to be separate.
That's going to be separate, and that, we believe, should also be covered by the remaining contingencies, but of course, The project's not done, so you never know for sure until the end. But what we're asking tonight is to approve the amended contract with Canon that includes the materials and soils compaction testing. The net difference is $11,314, and we'll use existing contingencies that have already been approved by the board.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yep. Can I make a motion that we approve the revised provisional agreement?
Yeah. It's too efficient.
Any more questions from the board before we take public comments?
Straightforward.
Okay, we'll take public comment on this issue. Okay, seeing no one come up, then we'll bring it back to the board.
Can I go now?
Okay,
thank you. I make a motion that we approve the revised professional services agreement with Canon Corporation as stated in item 8B.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Roll call, please.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
And then President Gibson?
Yes. Okay. So we'll move to business item C, update Oceano Community Services District history and progress on grants.
On seeking grant funds to augment district revenue for system capital and operations. It is recommended that the board receive this informational update on outside funding sources that the district's history of success in securing grant funds, as well as recent activity in the last year and prospects for future funds in the coming year. So what I did with the help of Ms. Cassiola is we put together, and this is a nice handout, and it's included in the board packet as an attachment, really just a summary of our success in terms of all the dollars amount we got in each year toward various funds. You're good.
This chart.
Yeah. And so I think it's just a nice summary to look back, and I think to put it in the terms of one of the directors who, in a personal conversation with me, said, you know, I think we're pretty good at grants. I'm not quite sure how good we are and how much money we brought in and how much money we're going after. And this particular chart attempts to answer all of those questions. So just to walk through it, in the general fund, there are four grants in that first line, and we went back to about 2020 fiscal year, so we didn't go back very far. We went back about 5 years. If you look at the water fund, the next section, really, really significant work between 2021 and the current year, where we've gotten anywhere from three-quarters to almost $2 million in outside funds for our projects, including the $1 million. Some of you may be wondering, the $1 million Salute Carbajal money, that's the final line item in the water fund that says USDA Rural Utility Services. We haven't spent that money yet, but it's been earmarked for us in our water improvements. We haven't gone after a lot in the wastewater in the last 5 years, but in the solid waste, there's been a couple of small projects, and then the ones in the facility funds are listed as well. And that total over the last 5 years is $4.527 million. That's a lot of money for a district of our size. Outside money, not ratepayer money, but we bring that in to deliver and maintain our projects. In the last year, what I try to do with the gray and blue bars is just kind of let the board know what we've gone after. We have gone after a couple of wastewater fund projects, and the gray represents money that has actually been applied for, and the blue represents money that we anticipate going after. So grants that have already been submitted in the last year total over $4.3 million. So we've almost asked for as much in the last year as we've received in the prior 5 years. And then if you include what we have in the hopper and you look at money that, say, a little over a year from now, we will have asked for about $8.7 million. So I'm proud of that record, and I think that, you know, I take a lot of pride in my ability and skills in the grant writing and review and strategic action in terms of seeking grants. We have had some success with RIC Engineering in helping us with some of these. And one other thing I did in the staff report is kind of talk about the grants that we have in the works, one of which we just spoke about, the $600,000 interregional water management grant that we got from the county administrators, but it's actually Prop 1 and Prop 2 state bond money. That's funding the five water lines that are under construction now. And then I spent a little more time in the staff report talking about the different projects that we're looking to fund and have sought grants for, including the Tank 2 rehabilitation, which is a little bit of a moving target, but we do have a project queued up, and we're looking at multiple grant sources to seek that $1.8 million to rehab our larger million-gallon tank in a similar way to the one that we did for our 0.3 million-gallon tank last year. So this is an information item, and it is, you know, just before the board so that you all know where we are and what our successful track record has been to date and what I consider to be our successful last year in continuing to seek outside funds. So happy to take any questions.
Yeah, well, you deserve credit for all of these numbers. These are very good numbers. So what are you going to be doing between now and Friday?
I'll shake some trees, call up some grant writers, and see if they want to say yes to any of these requests.
Check the couch.
I have a question on the solid waste fund.
Yeah.
So the San Luis County Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Grant bought two cans for Pier Avenue. That's what...
Yeah, I'll let Ms. Cassiola talk to that one.
Correct. Yes, we got that in 2024, and we purchased two of the dual... solid waste bin, so it's recycling and solid and trash.
And then the IWMA, the water refill stations?
Yes, those were the water, those were part of the water.
Where are they? Are they?
So that one is at the county park on Air Park Drive, and the other one is at the state park on Pier Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah, we coordinated with those agencies since they had water fill stations already.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Any more comments or questions on grants? Okay.
Public comment?
Oh, yeah. Well, is there any public comment on grants? Grant writing? Okay. Then we'll receive and file.
Yeah, receive and file. And I do think that when you're bored late at night and you do want to have some interesting reading material, I included as an attachment the memo that MKN and Rincon Consultants put together, and we've had this discussion multiple times where I've let the board know that there's a lot more out there on the water side than on the wastewater side. This particular memo attempts to hone in on funding for the wastewater program, and the fact that we have a new sewer CIP, which is going to come to the board at your next meeting. I think it's really important that we take advantage of the work that's been done in this memo and really seek some of the funding sources, although they are competitive and difficult to attain. And we have applied for one already through Congressman Salud Carbajal's office for 2026 appropriations request. That one's already been submitted. But I just think it's a good for the board to know what money is out there for the wastewater side, and that's why that memo was attached. But yeah, it's just receive and file.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Yeah,
that was a great job.
Yep. Exactly. Okay, so we'll move to item D, review and discussion at Oak Park. Mr. Brown.
Great. So item 8D, it is recommended that the Board of Directors review and discuss the OPARC committee member application received and also receive an update on the track ribbon cutting event from that's anticipated to occur next month, likely towards the later time of the month. We will put up on our OPARC website when we know the details. I think they're going to put together a flyer. And staff has agreed to use the OPARC website to help get the word out for that ribbon cutting event once it's scheduled Obviously, the Lucia Mars School District board and staff need to coordinate their schedules and find a time that works for them. But I'll say to the board what I said to OPARC last week. I believe it is very impressive that the grants were sought and staff and OPARC helped in putting together, Ms. Cassiola in particular, about $25,000 in CDBG money for this project. At the last minute, we switched the recipient from being OPARC to Lucia Mar, which made more sense since they're owning the land. That, along with fundraising, a very generous donation, and lots of smaller donations, and of course, the school district came together to lead the project and get it on the ground. If you haven't been out there, definitely go out there and check it out. But it is certainly a cornerstone achievement of OPARC to get to the finish line on that project, and we'll keep you posted on the ribbon cutting. A couple of items that are in the staff report, just kind of summarizing the OPARC meeting from the August 5th. The committee recommended, the board has already authorized $2,500 for OPARC activity, so we don't need a board action on this, but I did want to report to the board that the committee is going to be using $750, which is matched by the school district, so we have a total of $1,500 for those ribbon-cutting event T-shirts, which I think are going to be secured in all shapes and sizes. So those will be good to have at the event. And then another item that is of discussion and really the crux of the action before the board tonight is a reapplication to be appointed back to the OPARC committee by Mr. Varney, and I think it's for the seat for the Oceano Beach Community. I want to get the name right. Community Association, and so that is a new application in the sense that when Mr. Varney applied at the beginning of the year, it was in the resident at large category, and now it's for one of the identified representatives' seats that are in the OPARC bylaws. And so that will be for the board to consider tonight. And I think we already touched on it, but the OPARC committee voted 4-1 in favor of recommending that the board reconsider the appointment and reconsider the existing application. We did receive two letters of support, one which made the agenda packet and one which accidentally was missed. And so that was provided as a late handout to the board. And there's copies up there as well. So I'm happy to take any board questions on the issue.
Okay, does the board have questions, comments?
I just want to say that when we're doing this, it's about the work. It's about doing the work and putting the community first. It's not about holding a grudge or having a bad attitude about a particular person. It's about just what is best for the community.
Are we discussing this now?
Yeah.
Well, I think the standard procedure is if you have any questions about how we got here or what was presented in the staff report, now's the time. Then President Gibson will open public comment, and then we might opine on where we're going with the vote or the consideration.
Yeah, so this is more a question time period. Yeah. Okay, we'll open public comment.
For this item.
Yeah, Carrie Langford. Is this going to be under this one item, but there's two different topics under this one item? So is everything going to be talked about? Which item are we going to talk about, or can we address both of them at the same time?
Well, anything that's in the staff report is free to comment on now.
Okay. Well, quickly, I'm real confused on the park or the track up here. Now that my and correct me if I'm wrong, or educate me. Oceano had taken, or Opark had a fundraiser. It was going to cost quite a few thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to put that track in when it was done, and it came up short. The CMR stepped in and took it over, and it got finished. Which is great. I mean, it's going to be a nice addition to the community. And, you know, I applaud the hard work that from the people and the individuals that went into that track. But now, what does Oceano and Old Park have to do with the track? Because the CMR has taken it over. I thought it's now in the CMR's hands. So what is Old Park, what does Oceano have to do with that track? And so I'm asking a question of somebody to tell me. And especially, I guess I have to ask it from you two, since you're at the meeting. Does Oceano have anything to do with that track anymore?
Okay, we can answer that after all the questions have been asked.
Okay. That's great. And thank you. Secondly, you keep on bringing up the topic of personal feelings and old time and everything else, but those do still run high. And I don't know what this new committee is, from Opark, is supposed to do, or what it's supposed to. And so I wouldn't know what Mr. Varney, from what he already does for Opark, how it's going to change or what it's going to accomplish, how it's going to create more continuity or just what. I have no idea about this. And I would hate to see this be a stepping stone for a political agenda, a personal political agenda. And that is my worst fear. My fear is that I just have a bad feeling on this, that it would be more for a political agenda than it would be for the community. It's great. And quickly, last, and I should just come to a board meeting, an Old Park board meeting, and ask it, I think. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Okay, anyone else?
My name is Ray Monson. I am a member of the Opark Committee and a longtime resident of Oceano. And I would like to ask the board to approve Mr. Varney's appointment so that we can continue our work in providing recreational and educational opportunities for our community. And I think this is something that Mr. Langford just addressed. Both of the projects, well, actually the one project we've talked about with the track, and also us providing educational opportunities for our students at Oceano, began as very small ideas in a meeting that we just threw out. And there's more of those ideas percolating. And we're not there yet. I'm so pleased that we were able to get through and get this track done. It just started out as a small little idea that we had. Wouldn't it be nice to have, instead of, we don't have any sidewalks, let's see if we can get someplace for people to walk. And this is what happened. And it took us a few years and it took some money, but we were able to do that. And Mr. Varney and the rest of us were all very instrumental in getting that done. And I'd like to see that I can continue to work with him and be able to do the things that we're thinking about to improve this educational. How are we going to use the track? What are we going to do? What events can we have? What events can we do at other places, and how we can get that? We talked about the grants, and we did most of this with grants. We've been very successful in getting grants. They have been very happy at being able to give us money because they approve of what we're doing. The State Parks Foundation funded all of those field trips, and we can go back to them with an idea of maybe running a day camp or a science camp or something in the future. And we're not talking about tomorrow, but we're talking about that this is something that we could have. Utilizing our community, we have a park down on, in Oceano, right across from the state parks, and we have state parks there. And so this is something that we would be able to work towards. And I just want to be able to do that with Charles so that we can continue moving forward for our community. This is something that our community doesn't offer, and I think we can plan for it in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Okay, anyone else?
My name is Wanda Monson, and I'm a member of the Oak Park Board Committee, as well as the Oceano Elementary School Safe Routes to School Program. And so I would like to ask your consideration to nominate Mr. Varney. There's a letter of recommendation that's included in the packet. I've had the opportunity to work with Charles on a number of many, many opportunities to work with him within the school, within the PTA, within the community. So I know Charles's work ethic, and I would have to say honestly and sincerely that this is not a political agenda for Charles. This is a community agenda for Charles. And knowing what he's done and seeing his vision, as Ray was saying, it started as a small vision. We watched it grow. We were in the community center in this small room. There were maybe four or five of us. And I'm just grateful for the outpouring of support, not only from our community, outside of our community, where the grants have come in, not residents. I think we've seen more outpouring from out of our community than we have from our own community, which is telling. Yeah. So they see our vision, they applaud our vision. This is a legacy vision that our community and our students will be able to enjoy for years. And we do have a lot of projects lined up and activities and events that are in the process of becoming a reality. And it is a learning walking track. It'll be used for not only the students, but for the community. And I just applaud the work that was done. It was a collaboration from the Lucia Mar Unified School District, PTA, Safe Routes to School Committee members, Oak Park members, and very interested in supportive community members. I thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Okay, anyone else?
I want to acknowledge my colleagues and appreciation for your comments. To continue contributing to the community through Oak Park, it is really helpful to have a official position on the committee when, you know, writing grants and things like that. Oceano Beach Community Association approached me and said that they would, you know, they do have this, they are on the bylaws as a organizational member. They haven't had a representative in the past and suggested that I, you know, ask me if I would be willing to be that representative. And that would provide me with that committee status to, if, you know, we're going to have to find outside money, and so to be able to work on that, I think that would enhance the my ability to hopefully, you know, help bring in money for it. The people that know me and work with me know that this is all about the community. That's what motivated me to Juan and I to write the grant, to get the money to send kids at Oceano Elementary School and all these field trips. And just finishing up that money not too long ago, went for almost 2 years. And then the track and field is something that, you know, was a collaboration. I think ultimately the budget came in at about $142,000. We raised almost $97,000, and the school district contributed the other bit of it. And of course, the school district is their facility. They're responsible for maintenance, operations, insurance. It's just like another piece of playground equipment. And our community gets to use it, which is the great benefit of it. A great example of a great collaboration and a great partnership. And I'm proud to be part of that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Did you want to make a comment about the position with the track now that Lucy Amar has taken that over? What is the...
I think a couple of Rand Juana Monson both spoke to some of the potential activities that Oak Park will take on. I think, you know, it's a fair question from Mr. Langford, you know, what is Oak Park's role? When it comes to maintenance and operations of the track, that is on Lucy Amar. But in terms of, you know, what the committee will do for the remainder of the fiscal year that I believe they're funded through really is up to the committee. And I do think they envision, you know, different type of community events. I think they're going to be involved in organizing and the ribbon cutting. Securing the commemorative T-shirts and whatever other activities are on their radar. They haven't presented those to me, but I know that a lot of those things get formed between and at meetings. And I think, like I said, the Monson spoke a little bit about that. And if any of the directors, V and Joyce Sunderson, that are on the committee know of future activities for Oak Park, but their role really is advisory to the board. They're an advisory committee. And they do play a role in terms of, you know, organizing and advocating for parks and recreation events in the community.
So if they don't raise further funds, how much is in the bank right now?
I believe it's in the $12,000 range the last we checked. And based on the current burn rate, we do not believe that outside funds exist past this fiscal year. So June of 2026 is what Ms. Cassio and I anticipate the funds lasting through. So if the committee has a strong desire to continue, one of the things that they would probably take on would be additional fundraising for committee activities. But yeah, I think it's a finite allocation, and that allocation has been made.
So I'll bring it back to the board for discussion and questions.
This is a volunteer position, and anybody who is willing to volunteer their time and energy should be appreciated and not treated as a disposable person.
Yeah.
Please don't make...
Will you stare right at me?
Well...
Yeah. Okay. If I may... Mr. Minery asked a fair question. It's listed as action item, and he asked what the action is. And I'll just to be clear for the board, at the last meeting, two board members requested that the board reconsider this application. And so the question before the board is, would you like to reconsider the application of Mr. Varney and take a vote to reappoint him to the committee, this time as a representative of the Oceano Beach Community Association? That is a question that's before the board at present.
Okay. Okay, so I guess I'll go next. And I would like to echo some of the statements made and add some of my personal ones. And that is that, you know, I heard a couple of comments about Mr. Varney not being good on boards or not, something to that effect. But again, the role of a committee member is to give and receive valuable input from the committee for the good and the benefit of Oceano. And I do believe that Mr. Varney has the dedication and commitment and the passion that is needed. I mean, he's demonstrated that. I don't think that this project, which is historical and awesome for Oceano, would have gotten to the completion that it has. So, you know, maybe it would have in the future, like in a year or two or whatever. But he was instrumental in a lot of the fundraising and getting the word out and just dedication of time, the time he put into it. He's very passionate, and he's got the time to do it, and he wants to do it. So there's not that many people in our community that have all that. You know, maybe they're passionate, they don't have the time, or they don't have the knowledge, the skills, and just, I think it's also like gifts, or he has a gift for organizing and fundraising, something that I don't. I love my community, but I'm just not a great organizer. And he's able to do that. He's able to reach out and do some funds. He's also has some experience with grant writing. He might not be a professional grant writer, but he does his best, and he's helped secure that grant a lot. Not just that grant, but a lot for our community. So I would have to say that those are my words. Putting, you know, you might not like certain things about him, personality traits or whatever, but you have to put that aside and see what he contributes overall. Like people tell me about certain figures I don't like. It's like, are they doing their job? And are they doing it, you know, satisfactorily? Yes. Well, then, Aline, you can't expect everyone to be as polite as you are. Well, I don't want to toot my own horn there. It sounded kind of funny. But, yeah, as long as a person does their job and does it satisfactorily, which I believe Mr. Varney does, and he goes above and beyond. So hopefully the board will consider that.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been to see the track, but I plan to go tomorrow. And, yeah, I think Oak Park deserves a lot of credit for starting that project and following it through and finishing it. And I look forward to the ribbon cutting.
It's not done yet. There's a...
Well, I mean, you're close.
But
close enough.
There's an architectural developer at Cal Poly.
Oh, okay.
It's doing a landscaped architect class. Yes.
But if you're close
like
to
also,
if you're planning a ribbon cutting, you're close to the mark. So congratulations on that.
Okay. Can I go now?
Yeah,
or
Director
something?
Austin.
I'll say something after you.
Okay. First of all, I need to reiterate my last statement when we brought this forward. I don't understand why we're duplicating effort, time and energy it takes to put this on the agenda and take time here in the meeting, discuss it all over again when we already made a decision. Somebody does not need to be appointed to a board to help out and to volunteer. I personally sit on two boards, but I also volunteer for three other nonprofits. I've written grants, I volunteer time, and they listen to everything I volunteer and I say as well. So again, I'm a little disappointed that here we are again, right back to where we were 3 months ago, 4 months ago, voting on something that we already voted on once. I don't see the purpose of this. And that's my comment.
Well, I'll just say that I understand, and I've seen Charles's passion with, and I know he's very instrumental. He was very instrumental in the track, and he does want to serve the community and all that. But when he's on this board up here, he treats the staff like they're his, like he. It's a constant battle with him. I know you guys work with him out there, and I know he can be pleasant. I've been around him too, where he's been pleasant, but I just don't see if he gets any authority, he will just browbeat the staff to do what he wants them to do, and he doesn't let up. That's why, you know, you say he's passionate, and that's what it is, because it's it's a passion, you know, and I, you know, so, yeah, I don't know. I just don't think he needs to be on the board. He can still do what you want him to do with you. Other, you know, than that.
Okay, so at this point, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we not approve it.
Okay. Is that adequate? Okay.
We made a motion to not approve the appointment.
I'll second it.
That's correct.
Okay, we have a first and a second roll call, please.
I was the second.
As me.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Oss?
Yes. Sorry, yes.
Director Oss?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
No.
Director Villa?
No.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, so now we'll go to E, Action E, Review of the Fiscal Year 2024 Budget Status.
Thank you. So, President Gibson, members of the board, we have the fourth quarter budget review as of June 30th, 2025. So this is last year's budget in review to see how we did against what we adopted.
Some lights back there.
Do you want me to turn off lights?
Turn off, yeah, just some of them.
Oh, I think AGP needs them for...
Oh, they don't want to. Okay, fine. That's fine.
It takes a moment to warm up.
Oh, okay.
And most,
now I can see.
Okay. Most of the thing, I can tell you the page numbers that each chart's on. Okay, so a part of this budget review is that we adopt our encumbrances. So those are contracts, purchase orders that have been approved during the last year budget that haven't been fully expensed. So we need to adopt those so that we can roll it over to the next budget, so the next budget isn't affected by those charges or revenues, because some of them are revenues as well, because we have grants, and hold a place for them in our next budget. So again, as we always do, we always have our budget worksheets. They show the line item savings per line item and by fund. And then we also have four budget adjustments at this time proposed, three in the water fund and one in the wastewater fund. And we'll go over those more in depth when I get to those funds. So I'm going to start with our general fund. And for last year, if you remember, it was we had admin, fire, lighting, and facilities, which again will be different for next year. So as you can see, this is on page 137 of your agenda. Property taxes, you can see, came in a lot higher than we expected by $655,000. So this happened because the county, we had adopted a transfer of revenue agreement, but they weren't able to implement it during this year, so they continued to send us all our property taxes. And the same will go for our public facilities fees, interest, and even some of the sheriff's rent that we received last year. They weren't able to implement that change, so we received them all. So you'll see we have a lot of favorable variance. But in the next budget item, which is for this current year, you'll see we'll be returning those back to the county. And I've provided a reconciliation of that in both items. So we're basically going to have to give back $514,000 back to the county based on what we predicted. Because we predicted we would only collect 6 months of property taxes. And they allowed for us to collect 6 months worth of Five Cities Fire's costs, which is actually favorable for our budget. Then the second line item we received some questions on is the shortfall of $222,725. So this is called other sources. This is the other funds reimbursing the administration on our administration allocation. So each fund, based on a percentage, which obviously most goes to water and sewer, mm-hmm. all the savings in the admin fund is then passed on to the other. So that's why you see a huge savings here on the second line, and the equal, an unfavorable on the second, and a favorable for the same exact amount under administrative expenditures, which is 1, 2, 3, 4 lines after that. Our facilities fund had a $8,000 variance, and again, that's because they continue to send us rental income on the sheriff's building, but we'll be returning that in the next budget. Expenditures, the reason we had such a large savings in the administrative budget. One was because we got to save all of our lease payments that we thought we'd have to pay for this building last budget, because the transfer of revenue and the rental agreement. The rental agreement called that the property transfer agreement be in place before we started paying rent. So that didn't happen until June. So we were able to save about $62,000 in rent for this building last year. Another large item in the administrative budget under expenditures was our legal fees. We were able to save about $14,000. We thought we would spend $85,000. We only spent like $71,000. So that's a big savings from last year, because we know we weren't doing as well last year. Also, another line item in the administrative budget that makes that large difference is our professional fees. Professional fees came under budget because we went to one meeting a month, which saves costs on things like AGP and all the other items that come with
art. What was that
savings? So for our professional, it was about $15,000 in professional. Yeah, and then $14,000 in legal. Yeah. So then next in the general fund, we have our fire fund. That was also under budget, mostly because of utilities. The fire station wasn't staffed, so our utilities were low. Lighting fund also saw about a $10,000 savings, and that's mostly in operation supplies, so we didn't have to replace many light bulbs or sensors, and our PG&E costs were actually lower than we thought they'd be, so that's where those savings came from. And lastly, Parks and Rec Fund was under budget by $17,000, and that's because the Oak Park activities, the only one the board had voted to approve was the Oceano Plaza event, which then later was covered by the county's community project grant. So that was a large savings that helped out the administrative budget. Next, this is our first enterprise fund. We have the Water Fund. You can see that the water rates were over budget. You see there by about $210,000. We've provided a water revenue comparison versus what we thought we were going to get seasonally versus what we got. And that's based off our old rates. So just to remember, the new rates will be kicked in during this cycle to be due in October. Expenditures, we had a large savings as well. We mostly in personnel and services and supplies, those large items. And then we have four proposed budget adjustments in the water fund. One is for four waterline services that were replaced on Russ Court. That project was $24,876. That was done by Art Baker. Then we also had a 4-inch valve and a waterline service that we replaced on Lancaster. That was done by Art Baker for $21,000. That was unexpected. And then also an emergency waterline replacement of two waterline services on Lancaster. Those were completed for $11,000 and $11,462 by Art Baker. So those I'll get back to, because we will need action on that.
And if I may yes. just chime in on the water fund, my understanding is that a big chunk of that $3.6 million instead of the $3.4 million really had to do with increased water usage, and that's common in a community that comes out of drought. People realize that, well, Lopez is full, and we're not in the drought anymore, and the drought emergency has been lifted. And so what we noticed was that there was, I don't want to get the number wrong, but it's in the neighborhood of 80 to 100 extra acre feet of water throughout the year. That was ordered by customers. So that drove up our revenue a little bit on the water side.
Yeah. Yes. Next, our wastewater fund. So the revenues, you can see, were right on budget, obviously, because the old sewer rates we were able to predict pretty closely, so we're only over by $560. Expenditures were under budget as well by $122,000. Most of the savings there, again, came from personnel and supplies. And we only have one proposed budget adjustment for this item, and that is for the removal of a tree root and a lateral that was blocking a line on Tierra Nueva. That was done for $15,160 by R. Baker. The last enterprise fund is our franchise, is our solid waste fund. You can see here, our revenues are over by about $34,000, and that's because back in December, we adopted that resolution to increase the franchise fees that the district receives from South County Sanitation. We increased that. We used to receive 5%. Now we're receiving 10%, so there's a large increase there. And then most of the savings, again, is personnel and supplies under expenditures for that $10,000 variance. So this is the list of the encumbrances. This is the other item we need action on because it rolls into our final budget. So by encumbering our unexpended balances that are related to contracts or purchase orders, this basically restricts those funds so they're not spent in the next year on other items, and they are included in our final budget under, it's like under the last line, it says encumbrances, and we just basically keep it there, and when we expend them, it goes in that line item. And so it's basically revenues and expenditures, because we have two grants that we're waiting on some revenues still, that will basically earmark these to be spent on these items. So I have them listed. I could go, these have been previously approved by the board, but I could go through each one to remind you what every encumbrance is.
What page is that on? I'm trying
to find encumbrances it. Are going to be on.
It looks a little different in your packet, because for the slideshow, I think Ms. Cascola just put up the dollar amounts, but it's on page 141 of your packet, and it's more in narrative form with the dollar amounts in each bullet. So it's presented slightly differently there.
Okay.
Yeah.
This gives what the contract or purchase order is for and how much of it is rolling into next year. I could go through each one.
No, I was just looking for something just like
God,
that.
Oh,
it's not
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I
but
did a summary.
It's a written.
Yeah. So those are the encumbrances that will roll forward into the next year budget. Which
they add up.
Yes. We have some large ones. I can go over the large ones. So our Prop 1 grant stormwater capture project, revenues and expenditures of about $53,000 will roll into the next budget. Our Prop 1 grant for the projects that are going on currently, $637,000 will roll in revenues and expenditures for the next budget. Then we have our MKN engineering contract, and that is for our sanitary sewer CIP plan that they're developing with us. $145,000 will be going into next year. Schwinn Electric, they set up the electricity at the new office yard. $23,000 will be rolled in, and that's just an expenditure. No grant funds for that one will be rolled into next year. So those are large ones. So with that, the fourth quarter budget, so all the variances and the differences we went over, that's the receive and file. I do need formal adoption of the encumbrances and the four proposed budget adjustments, three in the water fund and one in the wastewater fund. So with that, if there's any other questions on any line item or page, I'm happy to answer them.
And any motion after public comment would be to approve staff recommendation.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so questions for right now until we go to public comment.
I think it's pretty straightforward, and you did a great job. It looks like we're in good
shape. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything was very favorable for each fund.
Carrie,
yes.
On page 137, and where the money goes back and forth.
Yes.
So the 222,
yes.
725, what was that regarding again?
So those are all the charges to the administrative budget, which is basically the cost of basically this office and all the staff that is inside it. These include legal fees, our auditors, our insurance, staff salaries. So all the savings in there are then allocated to the other funds, which create savings in the other funds as well. And most of it obviously goes to the water, and then the wastewater, solid waste, and therefore, but I believe 60% water, 30% sewer, and a lot of a lot less for the smaller funds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why you see it going. It looks like we didn't make enough in the administrative. It's because we didn't spend enough to be reimbursed for that.
Right. And what were the fire expenditures for?
So, correct. So we had to pay for 6 months of Five Cities Fire. And then we also had professional fees in there. I know we had to spend some money on... we had to file when we had the property. Help me with the term. What is the?
The property transfer.
Yes. When we gave
the divestiture.
When we actually the realtor filing.
Oh, the escrow fees.
Thank you. Yeah. And then we also had to pay LAFCO some fees for their administrative for taking our hearing and everything and having the divestiture be heard by their board.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any more questions here? Okay, we'll open it to public comment.
Well, I apologize to staff and the directors for not being able to get my questions to you prior to the meeting, but I just kind of finished up reviewing this about 5:30 today. So I'm just gonna go through, those of you that know me know that this isn't my strong point, but I'm really confused about the OPARC budget. And let me just go through it quickly. On page 142 for the 24-25 encumbrances, it has $2,500. And that's, is that all that's in OPARC for operations? And I think it should be 3,000 because we never spent the 500 on a pop-up. On the budget adjustment, this is from our the meeting minutes from October of OPARC where we approved $3,000 in expenditures, and it says right in the minutes that there's $10,000 in the remaining budget. I can read that for you, but I take my word for it. And then on page 158, the 24-25 OPARC approved budget was $17,000 for operations, $16,000 for administration. I think probably a lot of that money is for the the field trips. But then moving up in today's budget on page 200, it says that there's $16,489 total. $4,287 of that's for operations and $12,000 is for administration. So my question is really, how much is in there? And I apologize for not being able to give you a heads up.
I know Ms. Cassiola can help with the specifics, but one thing that I'll say broadly speaking is we're talking about a fourth quarter closeout and a rolling forward, and I think it's good to not confuse that with the full year-end budget, which I think Ms. Cassiola will talk about. And another thing to remember is that when we adopted the preliminary budget back in June, one of the things we did is we took the total amount of money remaining for OPARC and we rolled some of the activity funds into the administration fund such that we could fund the committee for the rest of the year while maintaining the $2,500 in activity funds that we set aside. So I'll let Ms. Cassiola answer some of those questions.
Of course. Yes, so encumbrances. I have two items. I probably should have pointed out all the encumbrances, but I only went over the big ones. So the last two line items, one is for the Parks California field trips to state parks. We still had 1,346. That's going to roll over to the next budget. And then this one that Mr. Varney was speaking to is the O Park activities through December 2025. That will also roll over to the next budget. So you'll see not in this item, but our hearing item 9A, they're both going to be listed under encumbrances, and they won't be taken out of O Park's 2025-2026 budget because we're going to earmark them for those two items.
And then how did the budget, maybe we should address the budget question at the next item when we're talking about the full budget, because I think there's some questions about the O Park budget. I think the ultimate question is, what is the O Park budget for 2026? And we can talk about that in the next item.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, so what you're saying is like that 2,500, it's going to roll over to the next budget. That's a positive. It's not like a negative. That's going to go. Those are funds, revenues. Okay.
Correct.
So kind of like the word encumbrances makes it sound like those are expenses that are going to roll over, but those can be either revenues or expenses.
Correct.
And in our case, in the O Park case, it's a positive. Okay.
Yeah. So for here, it's a positive because it was savings.
Mm-hmm.
Next item, it's going to be a negative. Does that? I know that's terrible.
Accountants like ledgers where they have a debit and a credit.
Yeah. Okay,
I get that it's being rolled over.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's the 2025-26 full park budget?
Oh, I guess, you know what, we'll just do a quick. So the total budget, we've put 4,287 in O Park activities, and that's because we lowered the administrative budget. It used to be 1.5, now it's going to be 1. So based on what the administrative budget is, only 1.5 of that is going to O Park for $12,202 for a total of $16,489. But do remember, because we're encumbering those two items, that it totals to $3,846. So the total cost will be $20,335 once you add those. But
okay.
It is savings from last year.
Okay. Clarifies it.
Does that
kind of convoluted?
Does that mean that
Mr. Varney, they're asking you to step up to the mic.
Sure, thank you.
So the 1346 that's encumbered, that's gonna be paid out. We have 2,500 left to do anything else.
You have 2,500 plus 4,287 as your O Park activities line item, basically.
Okay. So we have $6,000.
Just to bring. Are we moving into the next item?
Kind of. Yeah. Sorry.
So perhaps we should move into the next item and take public comment on all of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we need action on this item because we're asking the board to encumber funds as well as approve some budget adjustments. So I appreciate your willingness to expedite us, Mr. Minery, but let's get the board. If we're done with public comment on this, we will continue to address the overall O Park budget in the next item. But I think staff's recommendation is listed at the beginning of the first page.
Okay, if the board's done with that discussion, does somebody want to make a motion on E?
Correct. We approve this.
Staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Roll call.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're at the hearing item.
Thank you.
Approving the final 2025-26 budget.
Thank you. President Gibson, members of the board, in item 9A, we have final adoption. So just a short recap of how we got here. The preliminary budget was adopted on June 25th. And that established our revenues and expenditures for the year. The 2024-2025 encumbrances, which were just adopted, but they were incorporated into this agenda item. And you'll see them under transfers and encumbrances. You'll see them sitting there under each fund. So here in front of you today, we have revenues, expenditures, encumbrances, and reserves for your consideration. So let me get my next. So this can be found on page 181 of your board packet. So this shows the additions and subtractions of the reserves. This includes all the savings from last year and the encumbrances that we just adopted, and it shows how it's going to affect our reserves based on the revenues and expenditures we all adopted on June 25th. So we'll start with our general fund. Again, this includes our lighting and parks and rec fund. So you will see we have a large positive, and that's because we had a large variance, positive one, last year, and that's because of the transfer of revenue agreement. The county continued to send us property taxes, public facilities fees, interest, and now we need to return them. So that's where you see I made this column that is second from the left. That's our divestiture of fire and emergency services. So now we need to return $523,000 back to the county. That's the property taxes and the interest. And then you see under facilities fees, we need to return $460,000. That is for our public facilities fees that we've collected over time, returned back to them. We also need to return $90,000 of facilities improvements that was a part of that agreement. The savings of $39,000 from not even the one we were just going over from 2023-2024, and the rental income that they continue to send us. So that's for a total of $260,000.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Real quick? So with that, are we going to be done with returning things to the county?
Yes, we should be. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, they weren't able to implement that agreement mid-year.
Right.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
And this reconciliation of the $984,000 has been included on the last page of your agenda. I did one for property taxes, public facilities fees, interest, and then another for the shares filled.
Okay. That's fine.
So that is for the general fund. Then the water fund, you see here we have a increase of $263,000. This is mostly because of the 2025 water rate study that we adopted with resolution 2025-10 that will be implemented this cycle. So we'll be adding to our water fund. Same goes for our wastewater. It's not as large, but it's almost $7,000, and that's based on the 2025 water rate study that was adopted with resolution 2025-9. Then the solid waste fund, it's about $33,000 will be added to reserves this year, and that's from a combination of things. We increased South County Sanitary Services fees last year with their rate increase, and then we also increased our franchise fees that we're going to receive by 5%. And then looking at the five-year change, so you can see the last column is our current year. For all the enterprise funds, this is only enterprise funds, not general fund, all of them are going up, but you can see in the past that wasn't the case. And we've included reserves balances. So you can see this will be one of the first years we've had a positive variance in all enterprise funds.
Yeah, and I wanted to thank Ms. Cassioli for putting together this slide, because this is one of the ways that I look at the overall budget of the utilities that we operate. To be honest, you know, I had some concerns last year with the trends and the direction and the history of the wastewater and the solid waste fund in particular, but I will note that this slide really shows, in looking at the five-year history, our reserve ending balance, you can tell from the water fund, is heading in the right direction. The reserve ending balance for the wastewater fund was dipping quite a bit, including last year where we used a significant amount of reserves to fund operations. With the rate adjustment, we're in a better position, and we're not going to have a big increase, but we are going to have a small increase and be trending in the right direction. And the same is true on the solid waste fund. So this, to me, is a picture of economic and fiscal health. And so I think it's a good one, and the board deserves kudos for making the decisions to get us in this position as well.
So those are the reserve balances. I can go over, I'll go back to that question. So on page 200 of your agenda packet, we have the Parks and Rec budget.
What page?
We're on page 200.
Okay.
So the Oceano Parks and Recreation activities were originally adopted, this was back on June 11th, for $4,287. With our last item, we adopted an encumbrance of $2,500. So basically, and that's included in encumbrances, which is down towards the bottom of the page. So for OPARC activities, they'll be around $6,787. And then the administration allocation is only 1% of the admin budget this year, and that's for a total of $12,202. When last year, when it was 1.5, it was more around $16,000.
Yeah. And then just to add one more clarifying point, between the activities budget that's outlined as on this page 200 of 4,287. That 4,287 is money that requires board action to be implemented or spent. The 2,500 the board previously approved last year, and that's why we encumbered it and rolled it forward, and that's why the committee was able to take action to spend the 750 of the 2,500 in previously approved activity funds. So if that makes sense, it's all part of one fund, but a portion of it, the board has authorized OPARC to spend on activities, and the 4,287 would require board authorization to spend.
Thank you very much. I get that.
Good. And then, sorry. I think with that, the next steps would be to give me any direction on any changes or comments. And then this final budget is then given to the county auditor and LAFCO. So this is a public hearing, so we'll have to open the public hearing, hear public comment, close it, and then hear your deliberation.
All right, so we have a public hearing. Let's open the hearing and see if there's any public comment. Nope. Okay, seeing no one come up, then we'll bring it back to the board. So you need a recommendation to approve the final 2025-26, okay. Any more discussion? Or I'll entertain a motion.
Move that we approve recommended, how would I say?
Approve staff recommendation for the final budget.
Final budget.
Okay, we have a first.
I second that.
And a second. Roll call, please.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, good. Okay, do we have any written communications?
We included the one late received as a handout, so I think we covered that.
Okay, and future agenda items?
I would like to make a motion that we come back to review OPARC budget. Our next agenda item, please.
Okay, I'll second that.
For
discussion, right?
Sure. Two board members, absolutely. We can bring back a kind of a detailed discussion on the OPARC specifics.
Okay. I think at our next meeting, I think we have to turn off all our phones before we sit down.
Well, I had mine after it went up.
Yeah, no, I know, but there's just too many phones going on tonight.
It's not going now.
No, I'm not saying that, but, you know, they were kind of on and off. So. Okay, so we can adjourn.
Thank you.